Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember, I'm Avram Golder, and today Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Ches, the fourth parak Hazav. This parak has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer, and this daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eitan Feldman, Lezecher Nishmas, his father, Noach ben Avram Abba, Mez Neshama have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amadov taught that a Shomer Kinnim does not swear about Hekdeshvans. This contradicts another Mishnah about city residents who sent their annual half shkalim to Yerushalayim with shluchim, and they were lost or stolen. If the Truma Zalushka procedure, when coins were separated for Kabbana Sibur, was performed before they knew the shkalim was missing, the city residents receive a share in the karbanis and do not have to replace the coins. Therefore, the shluchim must swear to the treasurers that they were not negligent. If the Truma Zalushka did not take place, they swear to the city residents who must again contribute half shkalim. This proves the Shomer Kinnim does swear to avoid liability. Shmuel says the case is with the Shomer Sachar, and he swears to collect his wages. The Gemara clarifies that even in the first case, they swear to the city residents, meaning their employers, albeit in the treasurer's presence. Furthermore, they must swear the coins were lost or stolen due to an onus, for otherwise they would forfeit their pay. Rabbi Elazar answers that this shvuah is a rabbinical enactment required to exempt the Shomer Kinnim from liability. So people should not be careless with hekdesh. Pointing me to the next Mishnah states, Keshem she'ona b'mechoch memkar, just as there is onah in buying and selling, kach onar b'dvarim, so too there is onah with words. The Mishnah gives several illustrations. One should not ask a merchant for an item's price if he has no intention to buy it. One should not tell about tshuva, zechor ma'asecha rishoni, remember your past deeds. Similarly, one should not tell a descendant of Gerim, remember your ancestors' deeds. A braisa derives this prohibition from the apparently superfluous pasuk, osonu ish es amiso, a man shall not wrong his fellow. Monetary onah is taught in an earlier pasuk. The braisa adds more examples, including telling a ger coming to learn Torah, pesha achal nevelos utrefos shkatzim uramasim, a mouth which ate nevelos, trefos, and vermin, and creeping creatures, is now coming to learn Torah which was said by the mouth of the Almighty? If someone is suffering, ill, or buried his children, one should not speak to him in the way Io's friend spoke to him. The Braisa concludes that the Torah concludes, but you shall fear your God, because this prohibition depends on his private intent. And pointing with Rabbi Yochanan quote Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Gadol onaz dvarim onaz mamon. Verbal wronging is a greater sin than monetary wronging. Because the Torah writes, v'yareisim el-kecha, concerning the former, and not the latter. Rav says that onaz dvarim is worse because it harms the person's self, and the other only harms his money. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says that monetary onah is nitan l'hishavon, subject to possible repayment, but onaz dvarim cannot be undone. A braisa was taught before Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kol malbim p'nei chavero barabi, anyone who makes his friend's face turn white from embarrassment in public, ki'u shofech dvamim, it's as if he spills his blood. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak supported this, for I have seen that the red coloring leaves his face and it turns white. Abai asked Rav Dimi what the people of Eretz Yisrael are especially careful about, and he responded that they are careful not to embarrass people because Rav Chanina taught, as the Gemara explains, that all who descend to Gehenna ascend except for three, including someone who embarrasses his friend in public. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph taught that a Shomer Kinnim does not swear about Hekdeshvans. This contradicts another Mishnah about city residents who sent their annual half shkalim to Yerushalayim with shluchim, and they were lost or stolen. If the Truma Zalushka procedure, when coins were separated for Kabbana Sibur, was performed before they knew the shkalim was missing, the city residents receive a share in the karbanis and do not have to replace the coins. Therefore, the shluchim must swear to the treasurers that they were not negligent. If the Truma Zalushka did not take place, they swear to the city residents who must again contribute half shkalim. This proves the Shomer Kinnim does swear to avoid liability. Shmuel says the case is with the Shomer Sachar, and he swears to collect his wages. The Gemara clarifies that even in the first case, they swear to the city residents, meaning their employers, albeit in the treasurer's presence. Furthermore, they must swear the coins were lost or stolen due to an onus, for otherwise they would forfeit their pay. Rabbi Elazar answers that this shvuah is a rabbinical enactment required to exempt the Shomer Kinnim from liability. So people should not be careless with hekdesh. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Keshem she'onah b'mechoch memkar, just as there is onah in buying and selling, kach onar b'dvarim, so too there is onah with words. The Mishnah gives several illustrations. One should not ask a merchant for an item's price if he has no intention to buy it. One should not tell about tshuva, zechor ma'asecha rishoni, remember your past deeds. Similarly, one should not tell a descendant of Gerim, remember your ancestors' deeds. Abraisa derives this prohibition from the apparently superfluous pasuk, Osonu ish es amiso, a man shall not wrong his fellow. Monetary onah is taught in an earlier pasuk. The Braisa adds more examples, including telling a ger coming to learn Torah, Pesha achal nevelos trefos shkatzim uramasim, a mouth which ate nevelos, trefos, and vermin, and creeping creatures, balimo torah shenemar bipi agvura, is now coming to learn Torah which was said by the mouth of the Almighty? If someone is suffering, ill, or buried his children, one should not speak to him in the way Io's friends spoke to him. The Braisa concludes that the Torah concludes, but yareisim el kelchot, you shall fear your God, because this prohibition depends on his private intent. And point number 3, Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Gado onaz dvarim onaz mamon. Verbal wronging is a greater sin than monetary wronging, because the Torah writes, v'yareisim el kelchot, concerning the former and not the latter. Rabbi says that onaz dvarim is worse because it harms the person's self, and the other only harms his money. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says that monetary onah is nitan l'hishavon, subject to possible repayment, but onaz dvarim cannot be undone. Abraisa was taught before Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, Kol malbim pnei chaver barabi, anyone who makes his friend's face turn white from embarrassment in public, ki'u shofech dvamim, it's as if he spills his blood. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak supported this, for I have seen that the red coloring leaves his face and it turns white. Abai asked Rav Dimi what the people of Eretz Yisrael are especially careful about, and he responded that they are careful not to embarrass people because Rabbi Chanina taught, as the Gemara explains, that all who descend to Gehenna ascend except for three, including someone who embarrasses his friend in public. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Ches, and our standard Siman is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, not to be confused with the biblical Noach. So here goes. The Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvuah that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, hey, remember your past deeds, was rebuked by Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, who said, onaz dvarim is worse than onaz mamon. Once again, some emotion. The Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting when he stopped to visit a zoo, that must be learned off Nun Ches, Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. The Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvuah that he wasn't negligent, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the din is when the shkalim are sent with shluchim and are then lost or stolen, and the difference if they're lost before the Trumas Alushka or afterwards. So the Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvuah that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, hey, remember your past deeds, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Keshem she'onah b'mechoch memkar, just as there's onah in buying and selling, kach onah b'dvarim, so too there's onah with words. The Mishnah gives several illustrations. One should not ask a merchant for an item's price if he has no intention to buy it. And one should not tell a Baal Tshuva, Zuchor ma'asecha rishonim, remember your past deeds. So the Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvuah that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, hey, remember your past deeds, was rebuked by Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, who said, onaz dvarim is worse than onaz mamon. Which reminds Rabbi Yochanan quoted Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Gado onaz dvarim onaz mamon. Verbal wronging is a greater sin than monetary wronging, because the Torah writes, V'yareisim el kelchot, concerning the former and not the latter. Rabbi Elazar says that onaz dvarim is worse because it harms the person's self, and the other only harms his money. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says that monetary onah is nitan l'hishavon, subject to possible repayment, but onaz dvarim cannot be undone. So once again, the Baal Tshuva Shaliach, who was upset when he lost the shkalim he was transporting, when he stopped to visit a zoo and realized that now he would be required to take a shvuah that he wasn't negligent, was taken aback when the zoo veterinarian who recognized him and said, hey, remember your past deeds, was rebuked by Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, who said, onaz dvarim is worse than onaz mamon. All right, so now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Nun Dalet. So the simmer Daf Nun Dalet is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The pasta chef, that must be run Daf Nun Dalet. Noodles. The pasta chef was busy redeeming his $20 worth of Maaser Sheni noodles by adding an additional fifth, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a machlokes whether a chomish is calculated mil agav from the inside or mil habar from the outside. So the pasta chef was busy redeeming his $20 worth of Maaser Sheni noodles by adding an additional fifth, knowing that the chomish was a ma'akev, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, chomish ma'akev or ena ma'akev? Is adding a fifth essential to redemption, and redemption isn't effective until it's paid, or it's not essential to the redemption? Do we say four zuz of Maaser Sheni are redeemed with four zuz, and he adds a fifth on his own, or do we say that four zuz are redeemed with five? So the pasta chef was busy redeeming his $20 worth of Maisa Sheni noodles by adding an additional fifth, knowing that the chomish was a ma'akev, while waiter served his famous noodle dish to cheer up an unhappy non-kohen who unintentionally ate some truma and later ate the chomish that was owed, who ended up paying a fifth of that fifth, which reminds us more discusses paying a chomish on a chomish, such as in the case of a non-kohen who eats truma unintentionally, who must replace with chulin produce plus a fifth, that if he later eats that fifth, he repays it plus a fifth of that fifth. Daf Nun Hey, so the Siman Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The speed limit sign maker, speed limit sign, that must be one Daf Nun Hey, 55. The speed limit sign maker, who was so proud when he changed the design of the sign and put 5 prutos under 1 5, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Chamesh prutos hen. There are 5 laws which apply to a minimum of a pruta, and the Gemara brings machlokas, whether or not applies to something sold by prutos. So the speed limit sign maker, who was so proud when he changed the design of the sign and put 5 prutos under 1 5 and 5 chumshin under the second 5, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Chamisha chumshin hem. There are 5 surcharges of a fifth. So the speed limit sign maker, who was so proud when he changed the design of the sign and put 5 prutos under 1 5 and 5 chumshin under the second 5, was shocked when his boss told him he acted like one who deviated from the procedure that Rabbanan instituted for Gittin, where if a woman remarries with the get, the second husband must divorce her and their offspring is a mamzer, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Rabbi Meir's position that if anyone deviates from the procedure instituted by the rabbis for Gittin, and the woman remarries with that get, Yotzi v'havlad mamzer, the second husband must divorce her and their offspring is a mamzer. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is a Shusher and Shul going, nu. So here goes. The Shusher and Shul, that must be on Daf Nun Vav, nu. The Shusher and Shul, who was on his way home to take Maisra on a round challah, he bought from an Amard's baker for the twisted challah he bought the day before, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses taking Maisra on bread purchased from a Nachno made in different shapes. So the Shusher and Shul, who was on his way home to take Maisra on a round challah, he bought from an Amar'ats baker for the twisted challah he bought the day before, walked past the not subject to Ohuna display featuring an Evid Shtar land and Hekdesh, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, El Dvarim She'ein Lahem Ohuna, these are the things which are not subject to Ohuna, slave, shtaros, land, and Hekdesh. So the Shusher and Shul, who was on his way home to take Maisra on a round challah he bought from an Amar'ats baker for the twisted challah he bought the day before, walked past the not subject to Ohuna display featuring an Evid Shtar land and Hekdesh, and shushed a man who was complaining that he was overcharged on the wheat kernels planted in the ground he bought that had not yet taken root. Which reminds us, Rava asked regarding wheat kernels which one planted in the ground, what's the halacha if they were sold before taking root? Are they as if they were thrown into a container and still considered metaltlin and therefore subject to Ona? Or do we say he subordinate them to the land and they're excluded from Ona like land? Daf Nun Zayin. So the Siman Daf Nun Zayin is a nose and we use a puppet with a long nose. So here goes. The man in the Pinocchio costume, Pinocchio, that must be on Daf Nun Zayin. Nose. The man in the Pinocchio costume, who was mevatel his purchase of Hekdesh wood he wanted for making a puppet, when he realized he paid more than a sixth, which reminds us, Rabbi Ami was quoted as asking, Ona ein lahem. The Mishnah taught that certain categories are not subject to Ona. Bitul mekoch yesh lahem or ein lahem. Are they subject to the law avoiding the sale for discrepancy greater than a sixth or not? He was later quoted as having concluded that they are subject to bitul mekoch. Rabbi Yochanan ruled similarly, but Amoraim argued about which category he was discussing. Rabbi Yonah said a hekdeshos, he was speaking about hekdesh, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said a karkos, he was speaking about land. So the man in the Pinocchio costume, who was mevatel's purchase of hekdesh wood he wanted for making a puppet, when he realized he paid more than a six, who was then told he had to make up the difference when he was mechal his prized cow, which got blemished, onto an inferior cow with a long nose, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches that if someone is mechal a hekdesh animal, which is blemished and invalid as a carbon, with an animal of lesser value, yatzul chulin v'sorich lasul sodamim, it becomes chulin, but he must make up its full value. Rabbi Yochanan says the chilul is biblically effective, and he must make up the difference rabbinically. Reish Lakish says he is biblically required to make up the difference. So the man in the Pinocchio costume, who was mevatel's purchase of hekdesh wood he wanted for making a puppet, when he realized he paid more than a six, who was then told he had to make up the difference when he was mechal his prized cow, which got blemished, onto an inferior cow with a long nose, was on his way to do a puppet show called Ribbis does not apply to hekdesh, which reminds us, a braisa taught that the prohibition of ribbis, interest, does not apply to hekdesh. The Gemara wonders what the cases, Rav Hoshaya explained, the cases where someone agreed to supply fine flour to the mikdash at a price of 4 saw per sella before a market price was established, and the price went up to 3 saw per sella, giving the impression that the buyer, meaning Hektish, received a better price for its advance payment. This is prohibited for ordinary people, but permitted for Hektish. All right, so that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.